This morning we have listened to perhaps one of the most important stories in the Bible. It features Paul and his conversion, that moment when his life was turned around. We all have people that we admire, people who become our heroes. Well, the Apostle Paul is one of my heroes, and for a number of reasons. I love Paul. He's just such an interesting character. When we first meet him, he's a Pharisee, one of the law keepers. He's a keen persecutor of Christians. He was in attendance at the stoning of Stephen, holding the coats of those throwing the deadly stones, approving of the murder, it tells us in the opening verses of chapter 8 of Acts. Saul, as he's known at this point, is zealous for the law. He hunts down believers and throws them in jail, and he's merciless. And yet, he undergoes one of the most touching conversions to Christianity, and then goes on to become a great apostle and hero of the church. As I said, one of my biblical heroes. This zealous Pharisee, persecutor of Christians, is visited by Christ on the road to Damascus. He is set out on a journey with every intention, if he finds any more of those pesky Christians, to arrest them and to bring them back to Jerusalem. He's even gone to the bother of getting the paperwork that would give him the permission of the temple high priest to enter the synagogues and drag people out. This is a man on a mission. But he gets stopped in his tracks by Christ. He's blinded by a light and told by Jesus to carry on to Damascus, where he will be told what to do. No further instruction is given, no idea of who's going to tell him what to do. And now he cannot see anything, having been physically blinded by the brightness of the light. Ananias is sent by the Lord to Saul. Now, Ananias, quite understandably, doesn't understand why the Lord is being quite so kind to this horrid man. This is the man who's out to arrest anyone who is a believer. But God lets Ananias into his secret and informs him that this is the man, this is the one he has chosen to take his message to the Gentiles as well as to all the people of Israel. So Ananias obeys, and this is where we have picked up in our story. Ananias is witness to Saul's sight reappearing, but more than that, Ananias welcomes Saul into the circle of believers. He makes no judgment. Instead, he puts his trust in God. And this is an important move. It shows how big Christian love should be. A love that forgives and a love that trusts. A love that can get past behavior and see only the future. Saul, in return, goes to the synagogues and begins preaching the good news of Christ. And he's not afraid to show that he has turned his back on his old life as a prosecutor and persecutor. And he becomes perhaps the most important of the apostles. Saul, he heads back to Jerusalem. But instead of returning with prisoners, he returns to continue what he began in Damascus, preaching and teaching about Jesus. Paul, or Saul, as he still is in our reading, was a man of great passion and commitment, and a man almost obsessive about anything that he does. And this can and does often get him into trouble as we follow his story through. But once converted, he never goes back. He never gives up. He's willing to say and do whatever it takes to get his message across. What's interesting about Paul is that his life is mapped out in the New Testament as one of a journey, in fact, well, a series of journeys. Journeys that are both spiritual and physical. And as with most journeys, he meets people along the way who then influence him. We start today with the reading we heard. And he met two people on his journey to Damascus. First, there was Christ, and then there was Ananias. The first encounter with Christ, Christ shows him no condemnation of his previous life and instead welcomes and almost assumes that Paul will do what he is asking him to do. Paul experiences his conversion, and it was immediate. We often talk about people having Damascus moments, moments in their lives when they suddenly change direction or opinion or something in their life changes. It could have been a long-held belief that's let go. It could be they decide to give up one career to do something completely different, or even a habit that's broken suddenly. Some smokers speak of being able to suddenly just give up and never having a craving for another cigarette. And Paul, he had this blinding moment when he came to faith. We don't all have dramatic stories about how we come or came to faith or why we come to church. My story is certainly lacking any dramatic moments. From that point of view, I'm one of those people who just can't pinpoint that time that I became a Christian, to use, or came to faith, to use a churchy phrase. I grew up in a family that went to church regularly, and with the exception of a few years in my early 20s, church has always been part of my life. And so I don't know when I first believed in God, and I don't know when I first came to love Jesus. But what I do know is that my life was transformed, and I'm pretty sure our lives have been transformed by being part of this church community, by being part of the family of God. How do I know that we've all been changed? Well, it's simple, really. I want you to imagine your life without God. Imagine your life without this community that we call church. What gap would be left? Well, you might have an extra couple of hours on a Sunday morning that you might decide to do something else with. But you would miss out on all the singing and the praying and the hearing of God's word from the Bible. And I dare say you might even miss my attempts to try and put it into some kind of context. But you would miss so much more than that. You would miss out on the community of people that are gathered here. You would miss out on seeing God's work through those around you here as you minister to each other by being companions for the time that we spend together on a Sunday morning, and at the various points you meet up during the week. However it happens, once a Christian, life is never quite the same again. And our lives as Christians are always journeys. Like Paul, we will meet people who help us learn more about what it means to be a Christian. I've been lucky enough to have journeyed with some truly wonderful people who have shown me what it's like to be more Christ-like in our world. People who, like Ananias, have been there to point me in the right direction. Ananias is the perfect foil to Saul. Here is a faithful man doing his best to serve the Lord, and he's asked to do a job that he initially balks at, and yet he does as asked, and through his actions, Saul becomes Paul, and his life is transformed. We all have the possibility within us of being like Ananias. Our words and actions have the power to transform lives, those around us and of those further afield. How we live our lives says so much about who we are. In my message to the Scottish Parliament during Holy Week, I quoted Mahatma Gandhi, who said, "My life is my message." It's not a bad thing to remind ourselves of that now and again. The message of our lives, what do they send out to other people? Do we send out the right message? Would people recognize in us a life transformed by knowing and loving Jesus? Paul's life was certainly transformed. As the scales in his eyes fell away, so did his old way of thinking. And he goes on to spend the rest of his life sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The message of his life was to demonstrate how even he could be loved by God and used by God to show what life could and should be like. But he needed Ananias in his life first to demonstrate that to him. I wonder if that's a starting point for us all, to demonstrate the love and acceptance of Jesus to the Sauls of this world. Because like it or not, our faith is under attack. There are people out there who would like to see us continue to diminish in number. They rubbish our beliefs, they resent our place in society, and are quick to point out the times when we fail to live up to our calling as followers of Jesus. I faced a little bit of this the other week. I posted a picture of our full church on Twitter. And among the many likes and retweets of the picture, I received a comment from one person scoffing at the image. Their issue was that there didn't seem to be too many young folk in the picture. I pointed out politely that they'd obviously not looked closely enough because the image was indeed of the church, but down at the front of here were a lot of young people, along with Ian, munching their cream eggs. Back came the reply that the children had obviously been dragged there by the adults, And I politely said, well, they were taken here by their parents. I did acknowledge that the church does face a challenge of aging membership, but the point of sharing the photo in the first place was to show that the church was still important to people and that busy churches do exist. Now, despite my annoyance at the original comment and the implied anti-Christian attitude of the person commentating, I resisted the urge to snap back. Instead, I was polite and friendly in my use of language. And lo and behold, the person who'd launched the attack conceded that her granny came to church and got quite a lot from doing so. And she went on to say that it wasn't just good people of faith who could live good lives. And I agreed with her, because that's true. And we parted on good terms. From the initial attack, we ended up in a place where we had some mutual appreciation. And I thought that was a far better outcome than if I had retaliated with a counterattack to her initial message. If we say we are open and welcoming, then we have to demonstrate that. Ananias' instinct may have been to protest, but he listens to God, who asks him to go to Saul and demonstrate his love to him, and so he goes. We can all learn from Ananias to listen to God, to demonstrate God's love through the message that our lives send. The Sauls of this world will continue to challenge us, but Ananias' example is a challenge back to us. His is a challenge that demands that we let the scales fall from our eyes and look at the world through God's eyes, the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-loving God. This story in Acts sets in place a series of events that sees the Church of Christ grow and grow. And it took a faithful man to face his own prejudices to reach out to the persecutor of his faith. The result was a life transformed, a life resurrected. In turn, it took a man who was willing to listen and respond to his encounter with Jesus. He was open to being transformed, and wow, what a transformation. Ananias, Paul, like so many of the people we meet in the scriptures, are you and I. Not perfect, not without problems or issues to deal with, but able to show through the message of our lives that we can all be accepted and loved. How wonderful is that? Amen.